is Building on the Solid Rock with Pastor Troy Neely of Calvary Chapel's Solid Rock.
Let every family find faith in the Father's love. This is where it begins. This is our cry, this is our song, Jesus the way. We find our life in Him.
A sign that you are God's is that you can do anything God asks you to do. That excuse, I can't do it, doesn't fly with those who are filled with the Holy Spirit of God. It doesn't work. Now, if what you mean is, I can't do it in my flesh, I can't do it, then yes, that's right. In your flesh, you can't do it. And you're in your flesh if you can't do it. But if you have the Spirit of God, you can do it. And if you allow yourself to be led by the Spirit of God, you will do it. Listen to what Philippians 4:13 says. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me.
How do you know if you're a Christian? You just have to raise your hand in a service? The truest sign of a believer is the presence of the Spirit of God dwelling within them. God's Spirit empowers us to obey God's word like never before. And equipped with a heart of love for God, our lives begin to radically change from the inside out. In today's message, Pastor Troy will remind us that with God's Holy Spirit, we can obey Him. The question is, are you willing to do whatever God asks you to do? Now, here's Pastor Troy with today's edition of Building on the Solid Rock.
If you read in Acts 2, it says they heard the tongues in their own language. It would be like four or five different people, five different languages, and David is speaking in tongues, and all of us hear David in our language. It's like, no, he's speaking English. No, he's speaking Russian. What? I mean, this was impressive. This grabbed attention. Now, the religious leaders, the people were like, they're drunk. But Peter explained the word of God was necessary. Wasn't just, this feels good, must be the Lord. This was something Peter explained. He said, hey, this is not drunkenness. It's only 9 o'clock, guys. You know, I mean, first of all. But this is that which God spoke about. He's going to pour out His Spirit. He's done it. And now this is that which you see. And He gave a powerful message. 3,000 were added to the church that day. This was a powerful moment. God's Spirit was active. God's Spirit drew the people. God's Spirit drew the people. Not their weirdness. God's Spirit. And God authenticated the people. Now, speaking of authentication, this was a Jewish thing at first. So how do we get Gentiles involved? Well, later on in Acts chapter 10, Peter 1 sees this vision about eating unclean animals, and God says, hey, don't call anything unclean that I've made clean. So he gets this idea, well, what's this? You know, God's telling me to eat some unclean things. And members from Cornelius' home come, and they grab Peter and say, hey, come, you know. And so Peter goes over to Cornelius. This is the very brief version. You can read Acts for yourself. And they go to Cornelius' home, and what they witness is the exact same thing that they saw amongst them. So it was at that point a sign for the Jews that Gentiles had experienced the same outpouring as they themselves had. In fact, that's what they said. Who are we to deny them since God has saw fit to do the same thing in them as He did in us? That was the result. And so those were two big events that many will point to, but they have nothing to do with if you're spirit filled, that's what happens. That's not at all what God was saying or doing. There are many who don't have the gift of tongues. The Holy Spirit was not poured out as a sign only. He was primarily poured out as a help, as a helper. to help us. See, John 16:7 says, "Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the helper will not come to you." That's a capital H helper, speaking of the Holy Spirit. "But if I depart, I will send him to you." Remember, and it's a him, not an it, the Holy Spirit. Don't refer to the Holy Spirit as an it. It's not a thing. He's a him. And he leads us. He convicts us. He confirms truth to us, bears witness with us. He enables us. He counsels us. Seek his counsel first before you try everyone else. And he teaches us. It doesn't mean that you don't go to church and get taught, because the Bible says that there are those who are called to teach. So it doesn't mean you don't have to have a teacher at all at any time, because there are some who operate that way and they get very strange left to themselves, their gifts in the church. But what it means is sometimes even though someone is speaking, we're like, I don't get that. I don't understand that. You know, if somebody took me from where I'm at now and tried to explain some deep biological truth, some scientific theory or theology, and used all their formulas, I would go, I don't know what you're talking about. You can explain it in the most basic of English, but those formula things and those words that you must use to try to communicate that to me are beyond me. So what I would need is a supernatural understanding. I need help. The Holy Spirit helps those who know nothing about the spiritual aspect, the things of the Spirit, helps them connect when words that come forth from the Spirit are before them, so that they can understand, they can learn. Because this Bible, you can teach it until you're blue in the face. And if someone does not have the Spirit of God working in their life and they're not listening for that voice of the Holy Spirit, they just can't get a lot of this. It doesn't make sense to pick up your cross and deny yourself. I mean, who's going to take care of me? Well, that's what the Bible says. God takes care of you. Yeah, well, I don't know about all that. It's hard to get these things. And so, I'm always skeptical of those who feel like their maturity, or they're mature because they spoke in tongues. Or they say they have the gift of tongues. So I'm mature. I'm okay. I speak in tongues. I've always been very skeptical of that. And here's one reason why. Because I had an experience early on as God was moving in my life, doing so much to change my life and my heart, my attitude, my thinking. Everything I was being transformed and changed. And I was sharing this as I was going to get out of the military, something I never thought I would do, in order to follow the Lord and serve him. I was leaving some secure job, everything I had known, everything I had built into. Everything my family was. My dad was military. And so I'm getting out, and this guy that was a much higher rank than me kind of wanted to counsel me and make sure my head's on straight and everything. I'm seeking to follow the Lord. And I could tell that as I'm sharing what God's doing in my life, all that God has changed, all that God has done, he was inspired, excited. He was a Christian himself. You couldn't really tell, but he was. I knew he went to church. And so I was sharing all this, and he was like, "Wow, sounds like you really want to follow the Lord." And he goes, "Let me ask you something." And I said, "What's that?" He said, "Do you speak in tongues?" And I said, "Well, you know, I haven't got that gift." Now here I am, giving up a career, walking by faith, doing everything. My life is transformed. My family, everything's going on. And I've given all that. And he asked me about tongues. I was like, "Well, you know, I don't have that gift. And I haven't experienced it yet, but I'm open to anything God wants to do." And as soon as I said no, he's like, "Oh, I do." Like, so I got a bad taste in my mouth for those who speak in tongues and think that is their maturity level. Oh, okay, good. Because I got this sense that he was almost jealous of my faith. And then all of a sudden, "Oh, good. I'm more spiritual than you. Whew. I thought you were more spiritual than me for a minute. But that's not true, because I speak in tongues and you don't." Look, tongues is not the sign of maturity. In fact, sometimes I think that Paul described it as the least of all the gifts, because it only edifies yourself. And I think the reason that's true is sometimes There are times where we need some sign, something, Lord, please show me something that you're with me or that I'm with you, that I'm connecting. And so God will do something in our life, you know, maybe that fleece. But the reason that was done is because we were weak, right? God was with me without the sign, but I needed the sign. Tongues, very often it helps those who sometimes don't realize God's there with them and they need something when God does it. Now, if you had to practice until one day tongues kind of came out, I don't know about that one. But God does what we need to help us. The Holy Spirit does what we need to help us. And he knows what we need, and God seals us with the Holy Spirit. Now, the sealing. I'm going to speed up here, but the seal speaks of a finished transaction. He seals you, it's done, it's a finished transaction. We understand that concept of a seal today. You finish certain paperwork, you file them, they seal it, it's done. It has been done, it's approved, you got the seal. But the seal also speaks of ownership. I put my seal. It's my seal that's put on it. See, God seals us because we belong then to him. He's doing a work in us, causing us to become more Christ-like. And those who are sealed by the Spirit of God don't have a problem with that. Those who aren't, who are playing the religious game, you hear, you belong to God. I don't like that. Well, maybe you don't belong to God then, because those who do love it. Because we are thankful. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 19 through 20 says, "Or do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God, and you are not your own? For you were bought at a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's." It's not yours. I take offense to that. Do you realize the price he paid? And have you received it? Have you received it? Have you received salvation? Because if you said, yeah, go ahead and pay my bill, Lord. All right, good. Now I want you to follow me. Wait a minute. I don't want to do all that. Then maybe you're not in it to follow him. Like the ones who followed him for his miracles. Do you remember the time where Jesus said some hard things and they all went away? And he says, I had to. Because I had to get rid of the riffraff, basically, is what he said. He said, there's a lot of people following. And they were following him for the miracles. They were following him for the food, because even when there's no food, Jesus can produce. And so they were following him for that. But when the hard things are said, the chaff blows away. And so God says hard things at times. But those who are his don't have a problem with the hard things. But the seal also speaks of security and protection. When the Romans would close up a tomb and they wanted to keep it secure, they would seal it so that if it were broken, you would know. The tomb of Christ, if you remember. They wanted to make sure that it stayed sealed. So they put the seal on it. So it protected it. It guarded it. The believer is protected as well. When God puts his seal, you're guarded. You're protected. The seal is placed there based upon a foreknowledge God has. He's not in the... let me cap you. Oh, let out the Holy Spirit. Oh, let's give him back to you. Oh, wait a minute. You're back. What are you going to do? What are you going to do? Make up your mind. He doesn't do that. He knows who is his. And he seals once, and it's a done deal. He seals based upon, as we talked about last week, we talked about elect, based upon his foreknowledge. There are no broken seals. Now, I was teaching on that years back. We were meeting at the theater and someone had brought a soda into the sanctuary. And at the time I said this, there are no broken seals. It's, you know, God seals you. It's done. Somebody opened it and it was like, tsh! And it sounded like the breaking of a seal. So like, oh, somebody lost their salvation. That does not happen because God knows who's his. And the seal also speaks of authenticity. When someone puts a seal on something, it's to let that person know, this is genuinely from me. It's genuinely mine. It's got my seal. When someone creates, if you've done pottery or any kind of an art, you'll have a touch or signature that you place. You always recognize that. Pat Lazovich is a pastor at Calvary Chapel, Sierra Vista, and he does pottery, and he told me about the different things. He said, I can go anywhere, and I can see one of my pots. It could be in Russia. It could be anywhere. I could see one of my pots. I can go, that's mine, because of the seal, because of my signature. So the seal speaks of authenticity. It shows that we're, the Spirit living in us shows that we are God's. Romans chapter 8, verses 8 and 9 say, so then those who are in the flesh cannot please God. But you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you. Now, if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he is not his. If you are saved, do you have the Holy Spirit? Do you have the Spirit of Christ in you if you're saved? Yeah, that's what it says. Or you're not his. If you don't, you're not his. So that means if you are his, you have the helper. It's not simply our lip profession that authenticates us. It's not our religious activity that authenticates us. It's not our good works. We talked about all of that early on. It's the witness of the Spirit in our life that authenticates us. And that Spirit in our life begins to produce fruit in our life. But let me just say this one thing. A sign that you are God's is that you can do anything God asks you to do. That excuse, I can't do it, doesn't fly with those who are filled with the Holy Spirit of God. It doesn't work. Now, if what you mean is, I can't do it in my flesh, I can't do it, then yes, that's right. In your flesh, you can't do it. And you're in your flesh if you can't do it. But if you have the Spirit of God, you can do it. And if you allow yourself to be led by the Spirit of God, you will do it. Listen to what Philippians 4:13 says. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. It is Christ. Without him, in your own reasoning, your own understanding, in your own emotions, in your own way, in the best of you, you still can't do the things that God would ask you to do. You can't do it. So whenever someone says, I can't do this, I know they are in their flesh or they don't have the Spirit of God. Maybe they need to be saved. But I've seen individuals do things that almost make you cry. Because the love of God, the power of God, the presence of God is with them. And it can be something so simple. You can do all things through Christ because he seals you. So God's seal is received. God's truth is believed. In verse 14, finally, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession to the praise of his glory? The final thing is God's work is conceived. It begins. He begins to do something in your life that changes and alters the course of your life. Philippians 1:6 says, being confident of this very thing, that he who has begun a good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. It means that when you are sealed, God begins a work in you, a new thing. You're a new man, new woman, and there's a new work, there's a new way. It's not always going to be easy, but the work that he's doing is causing you to become Christ-like. Christ-like. And it's not always easy. Let me read something by Charles Spurgeon. He wrote this. What is this? Said the wax, as from the flame it dropped its meltings upon the paper beneath. Do not grieve, said the taper. I am sure it is all right. I was never in such agony, exclaimed the wax, still dripping. It is not without good design, I'm sure, and a well end, replied the taper. The wax was unable to reply at the moment, now giving way to a strong pressure. Couldn't even speak. When it again looked up, it bore a beautiful impression on the counterpart of the seal which had been firmly applied to it. Ah, I comprehend now, said the wax, no longer in suffering. I was softened. Heated and softened in order to receive this lovely, durable impression. Yes, I see now it was all right because it has given to me the beautiful likeness which I could not otherwise have obtained. And then he went on to say, afflictions are in the hand of the Holy Spirit to effect the softening of the heart in order to receive heavenly impressions. Job said, God maketh my heart soft, as the wax in its naturally hard state cannot take the impress of the signet and needs to be melted to render it susceptible. So the believer is by sanctified trials prepared to receive and made to bear the divine likeness, which it says, in whom also after you believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. Also saying in Ephesians, who has also sealed us and given us the Spirit in our hearts. It's a work that continues your whole life. It never ends. You can't avoid trials. You need them. They're good for you. If the work of your life is to try to avoid trials of God, then you're not going to obey God. Because sometimes he leads us in ways and trials come as a result. God doesn't quit on you, though. When you're his, when he seals you, he doesn't quit on you. And that's a blessing. That's good news. We can miss out on things. We can miss out on things. He doesn't quit on us, but we can miss out on things because of our flesh, because our eyes are on the world. And so we make life much more difficult, like the woman who went to the Christian counselor complaining and said, we have everything. I don't know what to do. All I know is we probably need to separate and divorce because this is not working. We have everything that should make us happy. We have a humongous house, more than we need. We have a cabin in the woods. I have a diamond ring here that makes people jealous. I have everything, and we're not happy. And the counselor said to her, you know, an expensive house is fine, but what good is that expensive house if you don't do your part to make it a home? An expensive ring is beautiful to look at, but who cares about the ring if you aren't committed to loving your spouse? It was practical. There was something practical, something you had to do, and that is follow the Lord, do things his way. What good is having stuff? In fact, the scripture says, what good does it do a man if he gains the whole world but loses his soul? See, in Christ, we have something money can't buy. These spiritual riches we've been talking about that transform our life. The Bible is our guidebook. The Holy Spirit enlightens us. He's our teacher. As we search the Word and trust Him, we discover more and more the riches that we have in Christ. So, Jesus told Nicodemus in John 3:3. Jesus answered and said to him, most assuredly I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. So we're talking about the blessed sign of salvation. The Holy Spirit of God poured out into our hearts that we could do all things through Christ who strengthens us. It's been said redemption is experienced in three stages. We've been redeemed by faith in Jesus Christ who died on the cross. We are being redeemed actively by the Holy Spirit who is at work in our life, making us like Christ. And we shall be redeemed ultimately, completely one day when Christ returns and we become like him. Galatians 4:6 says, and because you are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying out, Abba, Father.
Thanks for joining us today on Building on the Solid Rock. We hope you've learned something new from Pastor Troy's study in the book of Ephesians and that your faith has been strengthened along the way. If you'd like to hear today's message again, please visit our website at buildingonthesolidrock.com. We also have an archive of previous messages available to you free of charge, ready to be listened to online or even downloaded and shared with friends and family. You'll also find our podcast on iTunes, and when you subscribe, you'll have updated messages as soon as they're available. We're so blessed to be a part of your life in this way, and we'd love to hear how you've been impacted by Building on the Solid Rock. Feel free to send us an email at info@buildingonthesolidrock.com. We love being able to connect with our listeners in this way, and your feedback helps us continue to build this ministry. Pastor Troy will have much more to share next time on Building on the Solid Rock.
Let the light of Christ shine as we grow in